Have you ever looked around and noticed who tends to eat together at lunchtime? While there are exceptions, people tend to associate with those who are similar to themselves. When you look around and see who eats together, who hangs out together, you often see groups of people that have at least something in common. Maybe they have the same ethnicity, the same gender, the same age, or some other similarity. If you share these similarities, you're in. But if you're different, you're out. But since relationships are often built on similarities, that means that differences tend to be barriers to relationships. If we had no need to associate with people who are different from us, there'd be no major problem with these barriers, except for when they escalate into fear and hostility. That becomes a problem. However, we do need to associate with people who are different from us, especially as Christians. God is forming a worldwide family of people from all nations. The family of God includes people who are coming from all different backgrounds, and that means that we need to learn how to welcome those who are different from us. This is what the Apostle Peter had to learn as God was bringing in the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, welcoming them into God's family with Christ. We read about this in Acts 10, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. So this is quite lengthy, but it's important. So please listen attentively to the reading of Holy Scripture. Acts 10, beginning in verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them to be his guests. The next day, he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up! I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea.' So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Before exploring this story, let's pray. Living God, we thank you for this amazing story of your gospel spreading to new territory, to more people, to those who are far off being brought near through Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through this passage. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As I mentioned in the introduction, there is a human tendency to base relationships on similarities. But God is forming a worldwide family of people from all nations. There is space for everyone at God's table. The question is, are we willing to make room? or will we get in the way of others joining in? For Peter, God needed to change some things so that he would welcome those different from him. And perhaps God needs to change some things for us as well. So what did God need to change for Peter? Peter grew up in the Jewish community, and he was raised to keep all the laws and commandments of the Old Testament. This included laws related to food. One of the distinguishing marks of the Jewish community was their food. Jews were forbidden from eating pork, shellfish, certain birds, and more. These food laws intentionally set Israel apart as distinct from all the other nations. This was good and essential for a time when God was forming Israel as a holy nation that would be a light to the rest of the world. However, those food laws were a real barrier. A Jewish person couldn't go into the home of a Roman because, you know, Romans, Italians, they serve things like pizza with prosciutto and salami, all kinds of pork products. I don't know if pizza was invented back then, but they certainly ate a lot of pork and things like that the Jews were forbidden from eating. But now, through Jesus, God was doing a new thing. The Gentiles were being welcomed into the family of God. However, there were thousands of years of Jewish tradition and culture that made it tricky for the Jewish Christians to catch up with what God was doing. When generation after generation have faithfully kept the food laws, it is not easy to suddenly change and eat the food of the Gentiles. I married into a Singaporean family, and I've noticed how big of a role food plays in culture and identity. Food brings us together, but it can also separate us. Sometimes I hear my in-laws say something like, "Western desserts are too sweet," or how Westerners don't know how to eat certain things. And it's true, there are some significant differences in our food preferences. And to be honest, after over 11 years now, I still struggle to eat some Singaporean desserts that are full of beans and yams. That's just different from what I was brought up with. And I don't know if I'll ever acquire a taste for durian. My in-laws, my wife, my brother-in-law, they love it. And, you know, I've tried really hard, but it's just not what I'm used to. However, there are some Singaporean dishes that I find absolutely delicious, like laksa, char kway teow, bubul itam. Those are all amazing. So, you know, there's some things that we could share there. But sometimes people find profound joy in sharing their heritage of food. And they also take offense when people refuse to eat their food or just don't like it. So if food can be a contentious issue among modern cultures, how much more was food a big deal and a barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles when it wasn't just about preference, but there were long-standing Jewish laws prohibiting certain foods? I hope you can see that this wasn't just a light, kind of fun issue like the way that me and my in-laws sometimes joke about this. This was a huge barrier. So as God was forming this new worldwide family of people from all nations, God had to change something for the Jewish Christians so that they would welcome the Gentiles at God's table. God wasn't going to abolish the Jewish cultural identity and all its practices, but he needed to remove some barriers that kept Jews and Gentiles apart. God had to change something for Peter. So God gave Peter a vision. And in this vision, God told Peter to kill and eat animals that were unclean according to Jewish law. God gave Peter this vision three times for clarity and emphasis, but Peter resisted the vision at first. Again, it's not easy to change at the flip of a switch when there have been thousands of years of tradition. But as Peter was trying to make sense of this vision, the Holy Spirit told him that there were three men looking for him and that he needed to go with them. And at that moment, he heard a knock at the door. At least that's the way I envision it. And can you imagine that? God seems to be saying something to you, but you're confused. Yet in your confusion, things seem to be clicking together. A vision, a message from the Spirit, a circumstance, it all comes together and seems to indicate that God is up to something. It was difficult for Peter to begin associating with Gentiles. We get a glimpse of how difficult this must have been when we read on in the next chapter. Acts 11, 1-3 says, "Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, 'You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them.'" It was simply unacceptable to enter a Gentile's house and to eat together. But that is what God led Peter to do. It was a necessary step in order to break down the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. In Ephesians 2, 11-14, Paul talks about how the Gentiles were once strangers far removed from the family of God, and how the Gentiles have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus has removed the barriers that separate us. Jesus has reconciled us to God, and Jesus has made peace among the people. We are no longer strangers, but members of the household of God. We are one big family around God's table. When Peter went to the house of Cornelius, this was a big step. This was a turning point in salvation history. The gospel of Jesus the Messiah was not only good news for the Jews, this was good news for the whole world. All peoples were now invited to life with God. If Peter were unwilling to go into Cornelius's house, would any of us be Christians now? I don't want to put too much weight on this one moment, but think about it. If the Christian faith remained just a small Jewish movement, all of us who are not Jewish would have not been included. We would have remained separated from God. So Peter's willingness to go to the house of a Gentile has paved the way for all of us to be welcomed into God's family. And in that moment, God made it abundantly clear that He was inviting the Gentiles to join the Christian faith by pouring out His Spirit on them when they believed the good news about Jesus. The same Spirit that was at work among the Jewish believers in Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost was now at work in the home of a Gentile. But in order for that to happen, God needed to first change Peter's understanding of food. Peter needed to change. Likewise, in the ongoing spread of the gospel, we need a change. What does God need to change for us? God is continuing to form a worldwide family of people from all nations, but we still get in the way sometimes. Our reluctance to associate with people who are different from us is a real problem in the church still today. We need to humbly repent of the ways that we participate in division rather than unity. It is always challenging to be unified when we are different. But God loves our differences and brings together all kinds of different people. The early church had to wrestle with the question, can Gentiles become Christians without becoming Jewish? Today, since things have kind of flipped throughout history, we need to wrestle with the question, can Jews become Christians without becoming Gentiles, basically? And the same question goes for all kinds of other cultural and religious groups. Can we maintain our cultural identity when we follow Jesus? People often have the misconception that Christianity is a Western religion. It's not. Jesus was Jewish. Christianity began in the Middle East. There are Christians all around the world today who believe in Jesus, who read the Bible in their own language, who have their own songs, who practice the faith within their own cultural norms. Jesus does not remove anyone's cultural identity. He purifies it. There are both good and bad parts of every culture. So when we follow Jesus, some parts of our culture need to be challenged, but other parts need to be honored and celebrated. And when we come together as God's family of people from all nations, we learn from each other and we discover the beautiful ways that the faith has taken root in other cultures. And there's parts that we see differently as we come together and learn from one another. So part of what God needs to change for all of us is this misunderstanding of Christianity being a Western religion, which is the furthest thing from the truth. And of course, as I say this, I recognize that most of you listening come from an Asian heritage, but you now live in a Western country and you speak English. And there's all kinds of complicated issues around that we could talk about if we had time. But I hope that one way or another, you embrace your cultural heritage while allowing Jesus to bring you together with other believers who are different from you. Another thing God needs to change for us is to bridge the gap between Jews and Gentiles once again. It's become quite rare for churches to have any Jewish people, and that seems to go against the biblical vision of God forming one new family where both Jews and Gentiles are welcome at God's table. Maybe for us Gentiles, we need to befriend the Jewish community and share with them the good news about Jesus. Perhaps you haven't met very many Jewish people before. It's been a fairly rare experience for me. In fact, it was so rare at one time that I once made a very embarrassing mistake in a conversation. When my family and I traveled to Israel in 2016, we had the privilege of going to a Jewish family's house for a Sabbath dinner. And we had a wonderful time eating, singing, and talking together, learning about their culture and their lives. And then at one point, the mother of the house asked me if I had many Jewish friends. And I gave a very ignorant response. I said, "No, I don't think there are many Jewish people living in Vancouver, so I haven't met very many." Then she looked at me and said, "Actually, there's quite a large Jewish community in Vancouver, but I guess you haven't gotten to know them." And then I realized that I actually live just a few blocks away from a Jewish community center and a few synagogues, so that was incredibly embarrassing. But it revealed to me just how separated the Christian community is from the Jewish community, at least in my experience. A number of years later, a Jewish family moved in next door. That seemed like a great opportunity to make some new friends. Unfortunately, it was during the pandemic, so there was limited opportunity to connect with them, but I did have some chats with the father in the back alley sometimes, and we even got close to having some spiritual conversations. And our kids would play together outside, sometimes in the alleyway or front yards, and we did what we could to try to get to know them. But then, less than a year later, we ended up moving to a different neighborhood, so I don't get to see them much anymore, but it would be nice to reconnect. And I pray that God would open up more opportunities for me to connect with the Jewish community. Whether it's building bridges once again between Gentiles and Jews, or it's welcoming people from all kinds of different backgrounds, we can allow God to change our hearts. There is space for everyone at God's table. Lastly, I want to share about how a ministry called Oasis Cafe seems to embody this idea of space for everyone at God's table. Oasis Cafe is a church meal program that serves nutritious meals twice a week to everyone who shows up. The majority of the guests are people who live on the street or live in low-income housing, but there's also a variety of people from all different backgrounds who show up. The team that runs Oasis has worked very hard to to overcome typical divisions that get in the way of relationships. Sometimes other meal programs have an us and them mentality. Those poor people come and line up and we serve them and do so at an arm's reach. Of course, feeding the hungry is a good thing, but perhaps the way we do it matters as much as the fact that we do it. At Oasis, we recognize our common humanity as we share a meal together at the table. I have eaten there a number of times and made acquaintances with people who are very different from me. The way they look, the way they speak, the kinds of stories they tell, there are so many differences. But there are also some important things that we share in common. We are all human. We are all loved by God, whether we realize it or not. And we all need to eat, so we might as well eat together. When I sit to eat with other guests at Oasis Cafe and get to know them, I often feel blessed by their presence. Oasis has more than its fair share of challenges as it brings people together who have so many differences. Sometimes there are arguments, sometimes even physical fights break out. Not all the time, but it does happen. But people are there to try to bring peace where there's hostility. It is always challenging to pursue this vision of God's welcome towards all, but this beautiful vision of a diverse family of God is worth all the messiness that comes with it. I long for something of that experience at Oasis Cafe to seep into the ordinary life of the church. Some of it is already happening for sure, but I long for more. I want to continue to see the power of Jesus breaking down barriers that divide people. I want to see others experience the profound joy of being welcomed in. I want to see people making room at God's table for others who are different. So I invite you to reflect on this question. How is God calling you to be hospitable to those who are different from you? Let's pray. Living God, we thank you for breaking down barriers. We thank you for forming one new beautiful family with all its messiness that comes together because of Jesus. Lord, thank you for giving Peter a vision and for leading him by your Spirit, taking a big step that was a turning point in salvation history. Lord, would you give us a vision? Would you lead us by your Spirit? Would you draw us to participate in the ongoing spread of the gospel that all may be welcome at your table? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.